I feel like the true passion in winter sports shines through in Scandinavians. Never met one I didn't like.
This is Snow Scooter Podden, presented by Sled Tracks.
Hej på er. I det här avsnittet så är Kanada. Jag har rest över halva jordklotet för att få köra i en av de mest omtalande skoterområdena i världen, nämligen Revelstoke. Det här är ett ställe där många av de största namnen inom industrin samlas upp för att hitta riktigt jäkla grym körning. I dagens avsnitt har jag äran att ta med mig en tjej som både ambassadör för 509 och Skido sedan flera år tillbaka. Hon har medverkat i flertalet filmer för båda märkena. Hon är utbildad guide och håller i flera girl camps varje vinter. Dagens gäst är ingen mindre än Nairine Overwater. Nairine, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast.
Yay, thank you for having me.
I hope that you're thrilled to be in the largest snowmobile podcast in the Nordics.
I think I'm very excited.
Are you nervous?
No.
You aren't?
I never get nervous.
That sounds good. Let's do it.
All right.
Hej alla lyssnare. Dennis här på Marshfield Mountain Lodge. I samarbete med Snöskoterpodden erbjuder vi nu ett kanonpris på boende fram till den 30 april. Uppge Snöskoterpodden 15 vid bokning så får ni 15% rabatt. Hoppas vi ses. Ha det gott.
Arctic Cat has the ride you've been waiting for. Introducing the all-new Catalyst platform that was built to change the way you ride. Visit your local dealer and secure your new 2024 model today.
Snöskoterpodden sponsras även denna säsong av Polaris. Snöskoterleverantören med till exempel marknadens lättaste lösenskotrar och marknadens längsta fabriksgaranti på hela 5 år. Ja, du hörde faktiskt rätt. De har 5 års garanti på maskinerna. Tack så mycket Polaris.
Aktuellt. Latest and greatest.
Nairine, I'm so glad that we had time to do this. This is not the first time I meet you. Me and a couple of buddies went over the first time to Canada in 2014, and we ended up having you as a guide on that week at the Great Canadian Tours. Do you remember that?
I sure do remember that. I can't believe it was 10 years ago almost.
Almost 10 years.
Yeah.
Do you remember what happens the first day?
A lot of my Swedish clients blend in because it's usually pretty full on with you guys. But what did happen the first day? Remind me.
We were like separate groups. And when we first met you and the other guides,
yeah,
you were the only female.
Right.
Do you remember that?
Yes. It's funny because my early guiding career, I had a lot of issues being the female guide. And I don't remember. Were you guys upset that you had a female guide?
We weren't upset. We didn't say anything.
Yeah.
But you saw our faces.
Oh, yes.
So when we go up the trail a little bit,
yeah,
you killed the sled and then you were saying something to us. Do you remember what?
No, I don't. Do I want to remember?
You were pretty chill. But you were looking at all of us guys and you just, okay, I saw what you think. Because I'm a lady, but if you're not satisfied after this day, I promise you can change guide.
Yeah, now I do. I said that to a few people.
Okay.
But it was funny, you know, like being a female guide at that time, like now it's changed a little bit now, but yeah, I got that a lot. And people, I'd walk in the door, they'd meet their guide and just like blank face. But we got through that.
I have to give you that. I was pretty impressed with your riding skills.
And you didn't get rid of me after the first day, did you?
No.
Perfect.
No, not after the first day. After the second. No, I'm just kidding. We had an awesome week. That was probably one of the best weeks in my life behind bars.
We had a good week. I do remember the days. You guys pushed me too.
Yeah. I think we pushed each other.
Yep.
And you know, the first day it wasn't so deep, but then it started puking.
Yep.
So we went to the ferry and to do
Oh, Hall. Yep. Yeah. We went down to Hall.
Yeah. And punched trails.
And on the roads was like up to our hips.
Yeah. I remember
that day.
Matthias.
Yeah.
Was stuck in the roundabout with the 163.
Yes.
You can't even see the handlebars.
I know.
It was so, so sick.
Yeah.
I know that you have been filming this week. Is it for Skeet or for 509?
Yes. I've been doing some work with Skeetoo this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you are still having the collaboration with them?
Yes.
Yeah. That sounds good.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been an early start for them, but everything else is kind of coming in later. We have some stuff planned with 509 for later this season.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good. You have a ladies ride a couple of weeks ago as well?
We did. Yeah. We planned that earlier on in the season, and it was a ride. I didn't guide or teach at that ride. I just kind of collaborated with Great Canadian Snowmobile Tours here to just try and get more girls to meet each other, because there's so many ladies that ride but don't have riding partners. And it was a really good opportunity for them to come out and meet a bunch of other girls that shred.
Yeah.
Figure out who has similar ability levels and then make new friends.
I'm back at home in Sweden and Norway as well. Feels like the number of girls that are riding are increasing a lot last year. The same here in Canada?
Yeah, it's exponential. It's crazy. The parking lots nowadays have lots of women in them, and not just women, but like women-only groups riding. It's really, really cool to see.
Yeah, I think it's so fun, and I think it's necessary to take the industry to the next level as well.
Yep. I agree with you.
Yeah. Do you still work as a guide?
I do still work as a guide.
Okay.
Not as much as I used to. It's not my full-time job anymore, but I've been with Great Canadian now since, like, I don't know, 2011 or 12 I started there, and I still do a lot of private clients, like much like guys like you that visited me 10 years ago, and I've guided many times over the years. I just really enjoy still getting out, so I'll do private guiding.
Is it most the Scandinavian clients?
No, it's everybody, but I do have a special spot in my heart for the Scandinavians.
I thought you were saying that the Scandinavian was your favorite. Not okay.
No,
okay.
They are, definitely.
I've seen that you have been riding a bike this summer downhill.
Yeah.
Tell us a little about that.
I love riding bikes. I don't know what to tell you about it. It's like sledding, but in summer.
Sledding muddy in summer.
Yeah, it's similar, right? Like, I mean, we have all this access to these great mountains and terrain and trails, and the ski hill now has a bike park, so it's just really easy to do, you know, to go get your exercise and kind of get that adrenaline, and you're behind the handlebars, and I think I could almost say I love it as much as sledding.
Is it so?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you mostly riding bikes here in Rev, or are you going to Golden and Whistler, or where are you?
Yeah, I go everywhere. Obviously, most of it's here because I live and work here, but you know, it crosses over with sledding in that respect too. It gives you a reason to travel, or you know, you want to travel these different places to ride their trails and check out their mountains. So yeah.
How long have you been riding bikes?
I don't know. I would say like probably 10-15 years.
Okay. You're not a rookie there.
Not anymore, yeah.
That sounds good.
Snöskoterpodden presenteras av skoterdelen.com, Nordens största skoterbutik online.
Personen bakom, behind the scenes.
So Nadine, I'm known that our listeners are curious about you. Are you born and raised here in Revelstoke, or?
No, I'm not. I'm born and raised in Alberta, so it's the next province over. I left Alberta and came to BC in 2000 and I'd say six, I'd have to think back. Yeah.
18 years ago.
Yeah. And then I traveled a little bit and then made Revelstoke my home like 14, 15, 16 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any siblings back at home in Alberta?
Yeah, I do. I have two sisters over there, and then I have one sister out on Vancouver Island.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm in the middle.
So you're in the middle.
Yeah.
Do you have any children of your own?
I do. I have one son. He's 19.
Jesus.
Yeah. And he is currently in culinary school.
Okay.
So
what's that?
It's for cooking. So he wants to be a chef.
Ah.
Yes.
So he can invite you on dinners.
Yeah. So he can cook for me.
Yeah. Sounds good.
And make a massive mess in the kitchen. Yeah.
You raised him well.
Yes.
When did you first come in contact with sledding?
You know what? I grew up a lucky little girl. We always had sleds and toys on the farm. I grew up on a farm. And so I always had them around. But as far as mountain riding, I started mountain riding probably in the early 2000s. And it was more for snowboarding access. So yeah. Started out doubling with friends and then eventually got my own sled. And then the rest is kind of history from there.
Yeah. Isn't that quite usual that that's the way into sledding? You are a ski bump or a snowboarder.
Yep.
And you want to go to untouched terrain and you do it with sled.
Absolutely. And it's like, you know, we have crazy access around here. So you can go up so many roads and just find like the best powder of your life and not have to wait in a line at the ski hill and or pay for a helicopter or all of the other ways. I mean, snowmobiling is not cheap either, but you can buy an old beater sled and get up logging roads. But
you're buying freedom with a snowmobile.
You're buying freedom. Yeah. You should sell snowmobiles because that's a slogan.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a slogan. You heard it first.
Patent pending.
Yeah. But so you're like a farm girl or what?
Yeah. I grew up on the prairies and when I was really young, we had a farm and then we moved to an acreage when I got older, but I never lived in town or in the city.
Yeah.
I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah. Okay. So what was your first sled? What was you and your sister's first sled?
Well, my dad used to have some old John Deere sleds way back in the day.
The '80s?
Yeah.
Moles?
Well, yeah.
Or 70?
No, I don't know what year it would have been. And, you know, I should ask him. I don't have an answer for you. But my own first sled was like 92 Polaris 440 Indy Sport. And, you know, it was just got you around the farm, but I was the only one that rode it. Yeah. And it was awesome. We'd have like a group of us that lived out in the country and we'd all get off the school bus and meet up on our sleds and just go ditch banging and building little jumps and just being general little turds. But
yeah.
Is
it good with snow in Alberta?
No, I mean, yeah, like the winters are cold and they get snow, but there's no mountains where I grew up.
Yeah.
You had to drive to get to the mountains.
Just flatlands.
Yeah.
How has your way into the sledding industry looked like? Because you now work with both Ski-Doo and 509, but when did it all start and how did it start?
Well, it all started with guiding. You know, I started guiding with Great Canadian because at that time in my life, I needed a job and it was just kind of the way things happened that I ended up with this job as a guide. I got the training and certifications and I was a young mom and trying to make ends meet and it just kind of all fell in my lap. And from there, you know, guiding, I'm putting 100 days a season on a sled. So all of a sudden your skills are growing so fast. And then also with guiding, you're exposed to different companies and different clients and they see your potential maybe. And doors just started opening for me and it kind of just, I don't feel like I ever had to really work for it. I was just doing what I loved and enjoyed and work. And doors just started opening and I pursued them. And
when you started to work as a guide, have you bought your sled to do the backcountry riding or have you bought sled there to do the snowboarding?
No, when I first started guiding, like, I was kind of snowboarding for fun.
Yeah.
And that's when, as soon as your skills start to develop on your sled and you're competent on a sled, it's sort of the same feeling as getting the snowboard run. And so I still love snowboarding. Don't get me wrong. Like I will do sled access snowboarding as much as I can. It's fantastic. But also, you know, you consider like the terrain and poor avalanche conditions, and you can always find a place to ride on a sled because it's flat, right? On a snowboard, not so much. So yeah, there's a time and a place for both. But I will never give up my roots. I got into it because of snowboarding, and snowboarding is a passion for me as well.
Yeah, and you get the access with a sled now also, so you can have both.
It's fun going up and it's fun coming down.
Yeah, of course, of course. For how long have you been working with? Did you start work with 509 or did you start work with Ski-Doo?
509 has supported me like from the early years. Actually, previous to 509, Motorfist was my very first sponsor.
I remember and that. They, you were on Motorfist when we met the first time, yeah?
They found me from guiding, you know. Some of the team managers were out in Revelstoke riding and staying at Glacier House at that time. And I can't recall if I guided them or if they were just familiar with me. Offered me my very first sponsorship, and they were a fantastic company to work for and working on developing gear. And it was really cool to be a part of creating women's gear for sledding, because there was nothing really at that time. Everyone was just sort of like, what do we do with these women that want to sled, you know? Yeah. Like, is it worth it creating gear for them? And I think they were one of the first ones.
Yeah, like in the last 10 years, the expansion of the female riders has been so big.
Yep.
So nowadays all of the brands have like female collections. Yep. And yeah.
And it's good to see.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you know, but we don't have the same body as a boy.
We don't?
Yeah, no, it's different.
Really?
Yeah. Swear.
Okay. I didn't know that. I remember that back in the days you were working against the forestry.
Yep.
Do you still do that?
I still do that. Yeah. Yep. I'm a workaholic.
You're a workaholic? Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I do. That's my summers. And I own a wild firefighting company, and I'm a forester. So I do a bunch of consulting work and manage crews in the summer. And as you've probably seen in the news, it's not a quiet season for us here in Canada. We've had a pretty crazy few fire seasons, so.
Yeah, it's been rough.
Yeah, summer is go time for us.
Yeah. So is it just you and a couple of guys, or do you have a big company?
Yeah, it's a pretty big company. So in the summer I have depending on how busy we are with fires, I'll have between like 15 and 45 people working. Okay. Yeah.
So this summer has been pretty busy.
This summer was pretty busy and long.
Yeah.
Fires started in May and they went to October.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
And now in the wintertime, you're doing the guiding now, or do you work at the forestry as well?
Yeah, right now, because the summer was so delayed, it was so dry for so long, I'm kind of doing both. But very soon, in the next week or two, I will be winter dedicated.
Okay.
Yes.
Fully on sleds.
Fully on sleds.
Sounds good. I remember that you back in the days also had La Nina's sled camps. Do you do those as well?
I still do those. Yeah, they are. I think I fired those up in 2013, and yeah, they're growing every year. And I don't offer a ton of them. I just like I enjoy doing it, so I offer like 5 or 6 clinics a year. We're sold out this year. We sell out every year because they're small. So.
How big of a group do you
I
have
only
there?
Take 6 girls each clinic, and I have Brianna Lucar, who's been tail guiding and helping me with those clinics since the start. Okay. And so it's really good ratio. You know, it's 3-to-1. She's a fantastic teacher too. So you can't learn in massive groups. You need small groups, or you're just stuck in the parking lot all day.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have any of the Scandinavian girls over to La Nina's?
Have I? I don't think I have yet, to be honest.
Do you want to have it?
Yes, I do. I should actually just come there to do one.
Yeah. Didn't you come over to Sweden on the girl camp?
I did, the XX Freeride.
Yeah.
When was that? Like 20... I'm so terrible with dates, so I'm always guessing. But I feel like that was like 2018 or 2019. I think I was there.
I'm so messed up in my head. So the years, I remember them with which sled I have.
Really?
So that's
so
the
you're
way
better
I know
than
the
me.
Year.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's too bad. I know.
My head is so full, I don't remember anything unless it's absolutely necessary.
Okay. That's fair enough.
Yes.
Yeah.
Detta avsnitt är sponsrat av Fogelstad, Sveriges ledande tillverkare av släpvagnar. De tillverkar alla släp i Jönköping, väg i väg med konstruktion, design och utveckling. Hitta ditt snöskotersläp på fogelstad.se.
Vi glider in på SM-dom, finns i Boden, de säljer skoten varje gång. De finns i Boden, låt världen veta vad de heter. De servar skoten, reparerar. De är störst i norr på skoterkläder.
Sixtenilsons.com.
Framgång and motgång. Make it or break it.
So Nadine, I have seen that you got injured and you have a surgery as well. Was it last winter?
Was it last winter?
Was it 2 weeks ago?
No, because I rode last winter and then, yeah, 2021,
yeah,
I believe.
That was probably the year. So what happened?
That one, yeah, I just like teed up a cliff that I've done before a lot, not a million times, but a lot.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty common cliff to drop, and I just like hit it and landed in someone's bomb hole that you couldn't see because there was fresh snow on it.
Yeah.
Like stomped it, landed fine, but for some reason just like popped my knee out and
in the landing
okay. Rode it out, but I knew right away like it was pretty painful.
Okay.
So yeah, boom, knee number two.
Knee number two.
Yeah.
You have done the other knee as well?
Yes, I have.
When was that?
That was 3 years prior to that.
Jesus. So
just wanted to get them both out of the way, you know?
Yeah.
Just knock them back.
Checking the box with both. Okay, so what happened that time?
Dirt biking accident. Well, not even an accident. I just foot planted and twisted my knee and yeah.
Did you have to make a surgery to both times?
Yeah, I did. Surgery. Knees are a very poor design.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have to be reinforced.
I blame, yes, God for that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But what has been your motivation to go through the injuries and starting to sledding again? What has been your drive?
Oh, yeah. There's like no question whether you're going back. It's because injuries are maybe in my head, I feel like I live such a busy life. So they're just like your opportunity to rest for one. So never waste a good injury.
Okay.
Some advice I got from a very famous professional snowboarder, Jeremy Jones. Yeah.
Okay.
And which I never do waste a good injury, but you find like when you're such an active individual and you need your sports and you need your adrenaline and you need to be outdoors, when you're injured and or recovering, you get pent up and depressed and you go to dark places. And so that's, you know, your motivation to recover and get back at it and be good to your body, because you can rush things and that will not lead you down a good path. So you need to make sure that your body heals, you're ready for the next hit, because there will be another one.
Yeah.
And you want to be able to bounce back. So yeah, just being able to get back out there.
Do you work out a lot to be prepared?
I don't do workouts. I do quite a bit of yoga and like I just ride my bike and ride my sled, and that is a workout. And beyond that, I don't go to the gym or do much besides that. I work more on flexibility and like rehab style.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a hard workout. Sledding?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially if you're doing it like several days after each other.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty hard. My expression of you is that you're not a quitter. What has been your biggest challenge through the years?
Biggest challenge? Wow. This question, maybe.
Is it?
What are the biggest challenges? I don't know. I don't. Really, I always, you know, get these questions, biggest challenge, hurdles.
Yeah.
And I don't really find them because I think it's like a self-motivating thing or like maybe the way I approach things. But I think the only obstacle in my way is myself. It's not because I'm a woman, or it's not because I'm in a male dominated sport. It's just like, do I love it? Yes. And do I want to do it every day? Yes. And so then there's nothing in my way. All the other stuff is just peripheral.
It can be a challenge that you have to work. And I don't yes to sledding. I mean, in general, what has been your biggest challenge to get to the point that you are today?
I guess, yeah, if you think about it that way, I was a single mother early on in my career. And that was a challenge because I needed to feed and shelter that child. And so, yeah, it was a lot of work. But I never really looked at it as a profession. You know, it was just when I picked up sponsorships and things like that, I was really excited about that. And then it was like free stuff, you know, great. That makes it easier. But then with sponsorships comes expectations, and then you realize, oh, it's becoming a job. So yeah, the balance and the finances and just still creating space and time for your friends and family and being a parent, and that when your true desires are just to like want to be in the mountains every day.
That was my next question. Do you still enjoy it as much as you did before it got a work, so to say?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I love sledding. Like, I love it so much. And I have balance in my life because I do different things in the summer. And yeah, it is a lot. But, you know, I've learned a lot about like representing brands and like what my value is. So I'm starting to realize like where like numbers should be, because if I'm putting all this time in, then I'm taking my time away from actually making money doing something else. So I've become pretty good at that. But I also feel like I need to provide value to my sponsors and be authentic. Like, I don't want to represent brands that I don't align with. So I'm old, so I've learned a lot. And like, you know, you asked me these questions 10 years ago and it probably would have been a different answer, but it's good to kind of feed that into the up and comers or people that are interested in making sledding a career, is like, just work hard for it. And the influencing piece is such a small piece, and you need to love what you do and you need to be good at it. And if you want to get paid for it, then you need to provide something for that as well.
You said that if you got this question 10 years ago, it had probably been another answer. If Nadine is sitting beside me today, could tell Nadine 10 years ago something to get her the advice, what would I have been?
You know, I can't say I would change anything because I really love where I landed today. But 10 years ago, advice. Wow, this is the hardest segment, right? Yeah, I guess just stay true. Maybe there's like a few things where you're early in your career and you're kind of what we call frothing. I don't know if that translates to Norwegian, but when you're just like so excited to get after it, you're maybe not making the best decisions. Like, I was probably hitting some things I shouldn't have, but also that's a piece of the learning, right? Maybe just dial it back and like, you know, follow the steps of progression, and eventually if you love it, you will succeed and you'll be really good at it, and you'll hit that big drop and you'll hit that big jump or do that big descent or whatever it is. You know, just make sure you're doing it in order. Don't just send it and break your body. 'Cause then when Nadine 10 years ahead, this one is sitting here sore and achy, maybe it wouldn't have been as bad.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds fair enough. But you're talking about drops and jumps. I know that you're a good tree rider. What do you like the most nowadays? Is it jumping or drop?
All of it.
All of it.
It's just like, you know, when you, I have a love for all of it, and it really depends on the day, you know, like deep snow. I love powder. That's mostly it. I don't really do a lot of spring riding anymore, to be honest, because I'd rather just go biking in the spring. I'll go up for a few days, but I'm not going to go up and build jumps. But yeah, anything that involves just getting lots of powder in my face, exploring, I love exploring. And I do just love finding features and hits. And I prefer drops over jumps just because, you know, jumps you have to build. And that's like, takes a lot of energy. And I'm kind of lazy. And yeah, but I still enjoy hitting natural features and jumps. And I will shovel one out every once in a while. But it's just like having the variety, right? It never gets old. You can do something different every day. Bad weather days, you can go ride the trees, and all of the skills build on the other skills. Like, it's really all about making your machine become a piece of your body, and then the rest is just in your head.
I remember when I was riding with you that I thought that you feel so loose. You just fall with the sled all the time. Even the first days when it was pretty hard, you just fall with the sled.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if I think back 10 years, I probably sucked on a sled, you know? But yeah, it's like, that's the most important thing to me, is like, same with when I'm teaching girls. Yeah. I'm like, just make it so you're not scared of your sled. And then when you're not scared of your sled and you're not thinking about how much power it has or how heavy it is, and it's just about you and what your next decision is, you know, left turn, right turn, got to stop, got to brake, don't hit that tree, then it's like, removes a whole piece of the equation.
Yeah. And if you're thinking, don't hit the tree, you're going to hit the
tree. You're going to hit the tree. But yeah. I mean,
that's a classic.
I've had some good times in tree wells before.
Hej, Dennis här på Marshfield Mountain Lodge. Vi har alla typer av boenden, stora parkeringsmöjligheter och körning för alla typer av skoteråkare. Ring mig och boka. Ha det gott.
Tarpole Paulsen. Quick 7 questions with yoga.
Okay, Nadine. So now we are on a pretty exciting piece of this podcast. It's called 7 Quick Questions with Yoga. You're going to get 2 options.
Okay.
And you have to pick one.
Oh, it has to be one of the two.
One of the two.
Okay. Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you nervous?
I might be nervous this time.
Sounds good. Okay. I like it. Okay. The first one. Summer or winter?
Winter.
Polaris or Arcticat?
You would.
Yeah, you have got
you
two
have
options.
To pick one. You are the devil.
You have to pick one.
Snow scoot.
No.
Damn. You know what? I don't. Maybe Arcticat. Arcticat.
Fair enough. The next one. Beer or wine?
Wine.
Powder or slush?
Powder.
Pickup truck or a regular car?
Pickup truck.
Family or success?
Family.
Party night or movie night?
Party night.
Okay. How did that feel?
That felt good. That was Polaris or Arcticat. I actually don't think I've hopped on an Arcticat in too many years. But I know I don't like the feel of Polaris's.
So Our listeners are now hearing that you're going to start to ride Arcticat.
Oh, are they? Yeah. Good. I should try one out.
No, I'm just kidding with you. Good.
Hej!
Hej! Vem fan är du?
Ja, men det är Angelica från SN i Boden.
Vad säljer ni då?
Vi är ju Bodens återförsäljare av Skido och Lynx. Utöver detta har vi en grym webbshop med allt för en skoterintresserade. Så gasa in på www.sixtenilsons.com.
Det ska jag göra.
Be quaim. No, the awkward questions.
So, Nadine, time flies when you're having fun, they say. And we're at the last question for today's pod. This one is called the awkward question. So it's going to be a different one. Are you ready?
Well, is it going to be awkward?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay.
Probably a little bit anyway. Yeah.
I must have missed the agenda for this podcast.
You didn't get that one?
I didn't get one.
Okay. You just said yes anyway.
I just said yes. Here we go. Okay. Awkward question.
That's a bummer.
Fire away.
Yeah. Okay, Nadine. If you never ever could be in the mountains again. Summer as winter, you can't live in Revelstoke, you can't live in Vancouver, you have to be on the flatland somewhere. Where would it have been?
It has to be flatland, but it could be anywhere.
Yeah, anywhere.
Probably like Central or South America, West Coast.
And what have you been doing there in that case?
I do love surfing also, and that would be just fine with me, to be honest.
Never more winter?
Yeah, I think so. As long as there was a wave to ride and margaritas and fresh water.
Fresh water and a hot sand.
Yep.
Okay, that's good enough.
That was an easy question.
Yeah. Bummer, do I have to make another one?
Maybe. No, I think that means I get to ask you an awkward question.
No, not this time. So have you been away on a trip like that?
Yeah, I have. I've traveled quite a bit.
Okay.
For surfing, it's been good. Not the last couple of years because work's been busy, but yeah, I've been to Mexico, Peru, Ecuador, Nicaragua.
Jesus.
Yeah, I've been over to the Canary Islands. That was really cool. But
you have been traveling a lot.
I do like to travel, yes.
Okay. When do you travel? Is it in the summertime or?
It's usually actually around like November is the best time for me because it's in between seasons and.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's rainy here. So go to the beach.
Rainy down in the valley and snow.
Yeah.
On top.
Yeah.
Perhaps. Yeah. Okay. We're done. It's been really fun and the time just flies away.
Yeah.
Do you want to get a message to our Scandinavian listeners, Nordic listeners?
Yeah, I do. I would love to say how much I love you guys and appreciate you because I feel like the true passion in winter sports shines through in Scandinavians. Never met one I didn't like. Come on over. If you're interested in doing a sled clinic with me, I am offering those all winter in Canada and can help you out, get sled rentals and everything. And those are at www.laninasledcamp.ca or just Google search me and you'll find them. But yeah, I really loved hanging out with you. And it's so cool to do this after so many years and early on in my career. And I just... I'm having a great night.
Yeah, that sounds good. I have a great night as well. So, Nadine, I hope you're going to have a really good winter and I hope to see you out on a sled really, really soon.
Me too.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah, let's do that. Okay, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
See you later.